Hello, friend. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to Stage Haven, a podcast and online community dedicated to creating safe and inspiring spaces within the world of theater. The theater is, and always should be, a place of vulnerability, education, safety, and community. Here at the Stage Haven podcast, we are fiercely committed to discussing and nurturing these tools and information. Together, we believe our community will become stronger and better as we build and uphold the safe haven that every stage can and should be. Welcome to Stage Haven and to today's episode.
I wouldn't have even thought about it.
You're like, hi, everybody. If you're tuning in, we just started and I made a very horrible introduction. I'm going to edit out, but that's what we're laughing at. Hello, welcome back. I'm in Florida for this episode with two dear friends and former roommates, Jenna and Taylee.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And I'm in their home, so thank you for having me in your home. So 1 year ago, we were roommates for the Disney College program, which was awesome and a magical experience, mostly. I thought it'd be fun to start off and talk about our application processes for the program. So mine was literally on a whim. I had heard about the program before, and I just literally randomly one day pulled it up on my computer and was like, oh, let's apply. Okay. Like, didn't think anything of it because all I'd ever heard was it was super competitive, and I was like, yeah, this isn't happening. So I applied, and I texted my mom, and I said, I just applied to work in Florida at Disney World, and she was like, great, also not expecting anything. And then, like, a month later, well, I went through the interviews, which I was shocked that I got, and then, like, a month later, I got the email saying, been accepted, and I was like, holy crap, I'm moving to Florida, and it was crazy, so.
Yeah, so for me, I had dreamt of working at Disney since I was a little girl. I didn't know I would be doing the college program, but I knew I wanted to work at Disney specifically for a very long time. And so I applied back in 2017, I believe it was, for the program. Ended up being approved to work attractions and actually declined to go do a different commitment in my life, and then came back in... Yeah, I came back a few years later and saw that there were auditions for what I wanted to be doing and their applications happening at that same time, decided to go for it, and it all fell into place.
And we're so glad it did. Fun fact, Taylee and I knew each other
4 years ago.
Yeah, we were in a little community theater production of Hello, Dolly.
Yes.
And we probably had like 3 conversations total in that 4-month process.
But we got, like, 3 selfies together.
Yes, we did. And then 3 years later, we were moving to Florida and living together, so. Last but not least.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. So, I wanted to apply for the program my sophomore year of college, and then I was indecisive and decided I wanted to study abroad, and then I transferred school, so I didn't study abroad. And I got to my senior year of college, and I was like, sure, got the email saying, like, applications opened up. So I applied, and as I was walking into my class after, on a whim, reapplying, got the notification I'd be moving on in the process, and, like, 3 weeks later, I was accepted and a part of the attractions section of the program.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, it was crazy. So me and Taylee are both from Utah. Obviously, I'm from Utah, as you all know. Where are you from, Jenna?
I'm from Missouri.
So there were 6 of us total from all over the country. We had 2 of us from Utah, Missouri, New York, Arizona.
And Georgia.
And Georgia, yeah. So we're 6 of us, total strangers. I mean, me and Taylee, I think we were basically strangers.
Yeah.
It's been a while. From Utah.
But we had a magical roommate experience.
So good.
It was so good. Yeah, we had a good time. I guess we should say I worked in food and beverage quick service at Epcot for the Food and Wine Festival, which was such an adventure.
I am in entertainment. I am a performer, so I can say that I get to hang out and spend time with a bunch of characters, specifically based in Magic Kingdom.
She hangs out with the shorties.
All the little ones.
All those tiny ones that we love so much.
Yeah, I worked in attractions at Hollywood Studios Launch Bay. Yes, attractions, I know. There was no attraction there. But I got to see Chewbacca and Darth Vader Chewbacca all the time, which is the best. They weren't a fan of me switching sides all the time, but you gotta do what you gotta do.
Gotta do what you gotta do to see Chewie. So we had a couple questions on our Stage Haven. I know, we're so fancy. Like, we have questions.
Questions.
There was one main one that was like, I'm just generally confused about how the whole thing works.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's definitely fair.
So I thought it'd be good to just run down what the program is, how it works.
I would like to preface that it's different for Disney World and Disneyland.
Yeah.
Even absolutely. Though when you can apply for both or either one.
Yes.
Which is kind of confusing in itself.
Yes. Disneyland is much smaller. The program is much smaller because the park is much smaller. There's only two parks in Disneyland, and there are four out here in Florida, plus a thousand resorts.
Water parks.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mini golf courses.
I knew going into my application that my chances of going to Disneyland were much lower. And I remember being like, well, I could still apply because I'd been to Disneyland before. I'd never been to Disney World. And then I was just like, we're just going to full send it. We're going to go big or go home and apply for Florida, even though I've never been. Be moving across the country. And it was very overwhelming out here, to say the least.
I think a lot of the questions that I was asked when I first started applying that I was originally kind of confused on, too, was it's called the Disney College Program, but it does not mean that you are doing college here, necessarily. Yeah. You can if you choose to do so, but it basically just means that you are a college student or recently were a college student and you are coming to work for Disney to basically get your foot in the door or get something on your resume.
It's technically a paid internship,
right,
is what they call it. So, yes, you can apply after you've been in college for 6 months or after you've been out of college for up to 6 months.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that whole, like, however long you're in college, that is the timeline you have. And you come for anywhere from 4 to 8 months. You can have an extended program or a shorter one.
They work by semesters, like you'd think in college. So it's basically a spring semester or a fall semester.
And they technically do have summer.
And technically a summer semester. Yeah.
Who normally extend into fall
if you
do summer.
So you can extend your program and then apply to stay with the company after your program ends.
Yeah.
So,
but it still sounds
the best
confusing.
Way to think about it, basically, as a paid internship to help you through your college career.
Yes. And you can take college courses through the Disney company while you are here, but you will have to work with your specific university on whether or not those credits can transfer. Mine did not, so I didn't bother taking any college classes.
And they fill
up
very quickly at Disney World. And Disneyland, as far as I understood, you are required to take a course if you
really
do the college program.
I didn't know that.
But they have more options and less people, so it's easier to get one.
Yeah. Okay. Our next question was, what was the scariest thing about doing the DCP?
Oh my gosh, I know mine.
Go for it.
Mine, I'm not attached by any means to my home in Utah, but I'm extremely close to my family and my parents. So, and I had just barely gotten back to Utah from being away from my parents for a very long time on a separate trip. So my biggest fear was moving across the country again to try to live away from my family with a lot of unknown of who my roommates were going to be and where, like, what my living situation was going to look like, and just knowing that I couldn't just immediately turn right to my family for that support. I kind of had to grow up and figure those things out basically on my own.
Which is really scary. Yeah, mine was a very similar thread. I think the biggest thing was moving across the country.
Absolutely.
Like, I'd moved before. I lived on my own before for school. That was a 4-hour road trip away, and this was a 4-hour plane trip across the country. And figuring out how to pack my life onto a plane for several months was very intimidating. Like, I couldn't just pack up my whole car and throw everything in. Like, I was loading up my life and moving across the country to the world's biggest theme park, no less. Like, that was very overwhelming, very overstimulating. And I did all the research I could before coming out, but nothing can prepare you for actually being out here for the first time. It's very exciting, but it is a lot.
Yeah, I feel like I was as cliche as it sounds, stressed about it not being the hype that it was made to be, especially because I started doing quote-unquote research by watching the Disney bloggers and everything and seeing their experiences and hoping that I would have a good experience because I'd already gone to college for 2 years in Wisconsin when I'm from Missouri. I had always already been away from home for multiple different times, multiple different ways. I'd had my fair share of bad roommate experiences, so I wasn't even too worried about that. I was hoping I wouldn't get bad roommates, but I wasn't even worried about that one as long as they didn't steal from me.
You're asking for too much.
I was hoping it would be the good experience that everyone made it out to be, but it wasn't that. I didn't necessarily have any fears coming into it. Florida had been my happy place from my family, Universal, a little bit more than Disney. But, like, Disney became one of my happy places.
As it should. Yeah, the roommate thing was very scary, too, because I had just come from my freshman year of college, with 9 roommates, and 8 of them were interesting to live with. So I was nervous coming out here. I was thankful to have Taylee. I actually had a friend from school as well who came out with us. And so that was another familiar face. It was a lot of fun. And then I ended up having 5 angel roommates that were a total blessing and very quickly eased that fear.
So we got so lucky with our roommates.
So lucky. Like, it could not have worked out better. Because we all did random.
We had the one pair.
Yes.
And then everything else.
So there were 3
random
pairs that had all connected with our other person before the program. And then all 6 of us met at once. And it was perfect. Okay. Taylee, I'm going to give you this one.
Okay.
Do you have to look a certain way to hang out with the characters?
Height is very, very important in my department. That was actually something I was nervous about coming in as well because, they do very intense height check during the audition to place you into your height range. And then during my training, they did, 3 extra height checks as well as a full body scan to fully know this is your exact height, weight, body measurements of everything to know which characters you are approved to spend time with. So, you know, if you gain weight, too much weight in a certain area of work, it may change your chances of hanging out with certain characters. Obviously, you know, at this age, you're most likely not going to get a bunch, taller all of a sudden. But it is very important. I would never be able to go out and hang out with Tigger because I am not tall.
She's tiny.
Really tiny.
That comes for any character that is not like a princess or something where they'll interact.
They're very specific. So me, for example, I'm 5'8", and I'm 1 inch above the height requirement to hang out with the princesses.
And I'm 5 feet.
And which is too short to hang out
very,
with
very, very
the
short
princesses.
But yes, in theory, you should be looking a certain way to hang out with certain princesses because you should resemble the princess.
Mm-hmm. It's very intense. I remember living with you when you were going through your training to hang out with these characters, and I was like, dang.
Training for entertainment is very intense.
It's intense.
Exhausting and intense. It's worth it. It's worth every second of it, but it is very intense.
Yeah.
They push you very hard.
We're going to segue a little bit with this last question. Have you heard when they are opening up the college program again?
Oh, gosh.
After COVID closed it down.
I want to take that
one. We're switching gears a little bit. It's going to be going a little bit sad here, but it's okay.
So as far as I've been hearing and reading, they are not going to start the program back up until they are able to bring back all of their full and part-time cast members that they're having to let go of right now. So as of now, possibly 2022. I honestly would not count on that because they've let go of a lot of people and they have to find new ways to bring them back. And on top of that, me being the hopeful one that I am occasionally, there were a lot of college program participants, me included, who extended and got our programs cut short because of COVID. And we understand why. It was for the safety of everyone. But we're hoping that they'll allow us to have priority when coming back as well. So if that's the case, it would be even longer for the programs because that's even more. That's thousands of people that also wanted to stay after their programs that were not able to because of the shutdown. So a while.
So
I would
at the
2023,
earliest,
2024 possibly.
Yeah. So if you're in high school, if you're wanting to do this someday, look forward to it and be excited and hopefully in the next three, it'll 4 years.
It'll be looking
years,
a little better.
And even then, it's not going to be back to what it was. We were mm-hmm. talking about this today. They just announced that they are closing down all of their original housing complexes. There were four of them. So when you apply and you're accepted and you come out here, you're assigned to a housing complex and obviously an apartment and your roommates and everything. And there have been four that have been here since the beginning, and they show it.
Yes.
And they have character, and they are
so much.
They are great little complexes. Disney did announce they are closing those down. They will not be using those anymore. And in the next few years, as the program is kind of on hold, they are building a new housing complex for all of the future college students. So there will only be the one now instead of four.
Yeah.
So that alone says the program is going to be smaller the next few years, at least until the world can rebuild itself and go back to normal.
But I mean, just, I would always say keep an eye on all of the Disney blogs and Disney info and all of the official Disney sources. There are definitely a lot of Disney sources that are not 100% truthful, but all of the sources that are coming directly from Disney themselves, because you never know. Something could change tomorrow, for all we know, and your best way to get information is to follow their pages and get their emails and just keep an eye on it.
Yeah. And keep checking the site. That's what I did. I got an email that applications were live for the program that I did.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they still have it up because the program is completely on hold right now, but if you keep checking their official website, they will eventually put something back up where you can sign up to get email notifications so you know when they're...
Yeah,
they have applications.
And I was just
going to
say, that's what I did was it's so crazy thinking about, like, I remember applying and being like, maybe I should wait a year. Oh boy. I had known what was a year from then. I'm glad it all worked out when it did for us. But anyway, so you guys both stayed after the program. And now you've been here during the coronavirus. I actually left my program early because I had some pretty intense health problems and family things back home come up that I needed to attend to. So I ended up leaving and went home, but three of the six of us stayed out here, and now these two are living together and having a blast.
Yes.
And you've been here during all the COVID madness.
Yes. Yes, we have.
That is true.
Well, yeah, we have been living in Florida officially, a little over a year now. We are no longer, obviously, in CP housing. We moved off into our...
Thank God.
Yes.
We're actually still there.
Moved off into our own complex. But, yeah, we both had, I don't know whether to call it an opportunity or... I don't know, but we were here when everything began getting shut down and changing, and once... things started opening back up, we were right here for it too. So
yes,
we've definitely been kind of in the front and center of all of the craziness that has been happening at Walt Disney World right now.
Yeah. We've been to the parks
a lot
more than we probably should have. More for our pocketbooks than anything else.
Yes.
Seriously. Everything they've done so far with the parks has been for the safety of the guests. You know, of course, the masks are required.
Yeah.
They do a fairly good job of making sure that the guests do keep their masks on. You have to be stationary while eating and drinking. You've heard it all before. It's basically every major tourist area is like this. But I Taylee and I both feel this way. We feel safer at Walt Disney World, any of the parks, than we do going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
They've done a very good job with everything they've been trying to do.
They're clearly
to keep
trying
everything clean
their
and
best
safe.
To keep things as safe as possible.
While still allowing you to enjoy the experience of being at the parks.
Well, and I think it says a lot because I've been watching Florida cases and Disney World and everything. Because I've wanted to come out since I left. I wanted to come back and visit. I bought my flight back in like July or August to come out this week that I've been here, and I've been nervous watching those numbers, and so I've been trying to keep an eye on Florida, but it says a lot that since back in mid-July when Disney World opened again that they didn't have a spike in numbers, but actually being here and seeing it and living it in real life, I've been just like floored by how well they have done it, and it's been awesome. So I would say if anyone wanting or is hesitant or planning a trip to come out here, I think it's very well worth it. as long as you're doing your part, obviously, to be safe.
And honestly, your visits help all of the cast members right now more than you.
We're seriously not just saying this because obviously anyone would rather go to Disney than go to the grocery store. Like, I'm not just saying that it's better because it's Disney. Genuinely, I felt so safe in the parks. Like, never once did I feel stressed or anxious or like people were too close or whatever. And I was like, man, I could walk around any of the Walmarts or the malls back in Utah, and I've been stressed like this whole year just going to Walmart because people don't care. But they were really diligent here. And
they try to add as much magic back as they can, especially because with COVID, they've lost a lot of their things like character meet and greets and the fireworks shows and everything. But they've had cavalcades where you can see some of the characters come out. They have the fun music playing when those come out. You get to dance to them with the characters. It's honestly kind of cooler because it's not the mobs of crowds. So you get more one-on-one interactions with those characters while they're going down the street because they don't have as many guests to look at and to interact with. So it's kind of a special experience, and it fills a little bit of that void you're missing with not getting to see the characters one-on-one in person.
Because Disney World's they're not filling their capacity with guests right now. So the crowds are very minimal, which is very unique, obviously. And yeah, Disney World in a pandemic is something to behold because as much as all the precautions can be intense, there's like hardly any crowds to deal with, which is really great. I think the longest we waited in a line at Disney was 40 minutes, if that. And that was because they're stopping to clean the rides every hour or so to wipe everything down, even that. And I was kind of worried coming out like, oh, I won't get to see characters. There's no fireworks shows. There's no Halloween parade. But when we first got to Magic on Thursday and we were in the shops on Main Street, I heard the Boo to You music playing and I ran outside and they had the little cavalcade. I can't say it. Coming down.
You got it.
Just make it up. And they had like 8 characters from like Haunted Mansion and Pirates, and then they had the big float with Mickey and the Fab Five on it in their Halloween costumes, and I just cried. I just sat there and cried, and it was just as magical as any of their long 30-minute long parades can be. And that was just one of 5 or 6 cavalcades that they have. They have a villains one, they have a princess one, and it was a lot of fun. Anything else to add with the COVID fun?
No.
Jenna's working at Universal now.
Yes, I would recommend Disney over Universal right now. Or come to Universal. It's fine.
Whatever.
They're taking the same precautions as Disney for the most part. Temperature checks, limited capacities. We're just hitting capacity a little bit more right now than Disney is, but...
But Disney's spread out. Yeah. We've got 4 different parks too.
So, Universal's still awesome. We're still, like, cleaning vehicles when we need to. Hand sanitizer's required before you get on all the rides. There's hand sanitizer for after you get off if you want to use it.
I appreciated that. I didn't know that was a thing, but that was really nice.
So much hand sanitizer.
So much.
Just be prepared if you go to Universal. Lots of hand sanitizer.
The only reason my hands aren't dry from the sanitizer is because it's Florida and it's humid and my hands are just fine.
Still fun.
Skin's clearing up.
And then the masks.
And the masks, yes. The masks add all the joy.
They keep adding to them. Yeah. There's Jurassic Park now. There's Harry Potter ones.
Yeah.
Disney's coming out with a lot of cool ones.
Also, Etsy is where it's at.
Etsy is 100% where it's at.
On Etsy. If we're going to be doing this thing for a while,
I'm
going to get some cute masks to wear. Let's get away from that heavy content because no one likes talking about COVID. And that's all anyone has talked about for 10 months.
True.
So, we're going to play a game. And they're both so excited. I literally told them, like, the day I got here, which was, like, 4 days ago.
I'm still not ready.
We're going to do this. We're going to do the podcast. And today we went to breakfast at the Grand Floridian Cafe. And, like, half the time we were there, we were sitting just trying to, like, stress over this
still
game.
Stressing.
So I don't know what to call this game. It's not a creative name. But it's basically just a pick one game. So we're going to call it Cast Member Favorites. So creative.
Stage Haven is produced through Anchor, an app that records high-quality audios, allows you to edit right from your phone, and distributes your podcast everywhere, including to Google and Apple Podcasts. Oh, and did I mention? It's 100% free.
So, we have 6 categories. Sit-down restaurants, quick service restaurants, rides, character meet and greets, shows,
hotels.
Hotels.
Yep. resorts. We have all picked our top three, but I You're promise good.
The performer forgets so, characters. What? Ouch. Okay. Anyway, okay, sorry. Continue.
So basically how this is going to work is we all, I mean, technically we're all going to have our top one, but we have two backups. So we're going to go one at a time. So like if I start and I do a quick service, I'll pick my top one and then they'll go to the other two. But you can't pick ones that have already been said, which is why we have our backups in case one of us takes the other. So that's it.
There it is.
There it is. We can talk about them. And these can kind of be some fun little recommendations at the same time for all of you if you're coming out to Disney anytime and want some recommendations from cast members. So are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Ish. It's my intense yes.
You guys should be starting with the food ones because your girl don't know.
Okay, let's do food.
Your girl doesn't eat.
Jenna does not eat.
We never. I don't know bizarre. How.
Or drink water.
I'm very unhealthy.
As a segue, Jenna literally only drinks Coke. That's the only hydration that goes into her body. And I drink water like a freaking camel. Like, I drink so much water. Everyone in my life knows I drink water like no one's business. And yesterday, we were at Universal, and I had refilled my water bottle, like, 7 times and drank all of it. And Jenna had like, half a thing of Coke, and I got dehydrated. Like, the dehydration headache, I was feeling nauseous. And Jenna was like, I'm cool. She had, like, 3 tablespoons of Coke, and she was fine. So,
yeah.
We think it's a medical condition, but whatever.
It probably is, if I'm being honest.
I just realized we all probably sound so tired. Like, I can hear my voice,
yes.
And I sound tired.
That's okay.
Don't come for us. We've been here for, I've been here for 3 days.
We did park days.
We had 2 park days in a row. It was rough. Okay, so we're going to start with sit-down restaurants. I'm very stressed because now I don't know which of these three is my favorite.
I'm paranoid.
I'm going to go with T-Rex at Disney Springs.
Yeah. That's a really good one, though.
That's why I chose it. yes, I ate there twice on my program, and I loved it. It's very much so. If you have been to Rainforest Cafe before, it's the same thing, but instead of rainforest animals, it's dinosaurs,
which is so much better.
So much better. It's so cool. The theming is amazing. The food is great.
Food is better, in my opinion.
Yes, the food is amazing.
It's one of the last ones in the country. They've closed a lot of the ones they have.
I hope they don't close this one before I can eat out of it again.
They shouldn't.
They better not.
It's a pretty popular one.
It better stay. But yeah, it's so fun. I remember like one meal I was with Taylee and our roommate Brooke, and we'd just been to the movie theater at Disney Springs, which is the downtown Disney of Disney World, for those of you who don't know. And we went to get dinner at T-Rex after. And I had not eaten a full meal in so long because I was going through some things that was making my appetite not good. So I ordered this huge meal and I was like, oh, this will last me the next like 5 days because I was eating literally nothing. And I ordered an entire rotisserie chicken with mashed potatoes and green vegetables, and I ate the entire thing. I remember Taylee and Brooke were like, yay, you ate a whole meal. And not just that, like, you ate an entire chicken.
An entire chicken. The whole thing.
It was so good. And it's air conditioned. It's nice. They have the dinosaur animatronics that move around. And it's just, it's so fun. I love it so much. So, yeah, that's mine.
Next? Me next?
Yeah.
Sci-fi.
I knew it.
The Sci-Fi Diner, Hollywood Studios, is my favorite sit-down restaurant. I wouldn't even say the food is necessarily my favorite even. It's not even, like, the food is fine, but it's the whole atmosphere is just amazing.
Tell me this.
So you basically sit... The tables that you sit in are actually cars. They're
not like Lightning McQueen cars.
So like old 50s.
Like old retro cars.
Right. Old retro cars. And there's a ginormous screen in front of you that's playing on a loop old sci-fi commercials to make it feel like you are at an old drive-in movie.
The whole restaurant's like dark. Movie. It's all dark.
Right.
Like you're under the night sky. Sitting
it's
in your car.
Incredible.
But if you do eat there, make sure you get that reservation.
Yes.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you will be sitting at a normal table outside of the cool section. Because that is for reservation
not
only.
In a car.
And get their specialty milkshakes. They're always good.
Or their cups because they put, like, ice cubes in it that light up. Oh, yeah, the kid ones. One or whatever. I don't know actually what it was called, but I got it. It was really cool.
The glowy it's cubes. Incredible.
Yeah.
I never ate there, but I've peeked in many a time, and one day I will eat there. Okay, Jenna.
Well, I'll do my second choice.
Oh, Taylor took yours. That's
great. She knew it too.
I knew it. I
but
did
that's
know
okay.
It.
My second choice is still from Hollywood Studios. It's 50s Primetime Cafe. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's like home cooked meals. The food is amazing. It's probably one of my favorite places I've actually eaten in terms of how good the food is.
Yeah.
And all of the cast members are basically like your grandma or your aunt, and they act like it. Like, no elbows on the tables, no phones out while you're eating.
You have to finish your vegetables.
You have to finish your vegetables, especially if you want to order the desserts. And I know that sounds horrible, but it's so, so fun. And it makes you feel like you're literally in the 50s. And yeah. The decor in it is amazing. And like I said, some of the best food I've ever eaten at any of the parks was in that location. And I'm not really sure what the menu looks right now with the shorter menus that everyone has, but hopefully they kept the good stuff.
Yeah. Because they have the classic, like, roast and potatoes.
Which is so good.
And the meatloaf.
Yeah.
And
when we went, Taylee, were you there?
Yeah, I think yeah.
You were there? I didn't know
Dorothy
you were here.
Dorothy was with us, too.
And we shared one of the plates that has multiple dishes on it. So we got a little taste of everything.
Yes.
And it's so good. Honestly, I think the food there is better than Sci-Fi, but Sci-Fi aesthetically is just, you can't be sitting at a drive-in watching the old cartoons and the old drive-in mid-time showing and all that. It's so cool.
The thing about Disney is people throw fits about how expensive the food can be, but you're not paying for just the food. You're paying for these experiences and for these themes and to be transported back to these times or into these worlds and realities that are so real. And the detail that Disney brings and the experience that they provide is just so brilliant. And so keep in mind, you are paying for that as well as the food.
Yes. Especially in a lot of the park restaurants.
Like, that's how I felt. I ate at Be Our Guest, which is the Beauty and the Beast restaurant in Magic Kingdom. I had to because it's my favorite. And wasn't, like, my favorite food I've ever eaten. But I got to eat in the ballroom with all the snow outside in the windows. And I got to try the gray stuff. And, like, I would pay.
It's delicious?
It is delicious. So, yeah, that was definitely a good example of I paid for that experience. I would pay any amount of money to go sit in that ballroom again. Like, it was magical. And I cried. All right, quick service. Taylee, do you want to go first this time?
Yes. Oh, see, but I'm so torn on this still. Okay, Gaston's Tavern is my favorite quick service purely because of the cinnamon roll. If for nothing else. I don't like, okay, Gaston's Tavern is in Magic Kingdom. Back corner, they have a little Beauty and the Beast area, and they have, is right next to the Be Our Guest restaurant, and the entire interior, it's very small, because it is a quick service, but it's genuinely decorated as Gaston's bar when he sings his song in the movie, and it is amazing. They have warm, ginormous cinnamon rolls, and Gaston's brew, which everyone adores, and right now they don't have a full menu, but usually they also have, like, French sandwiches and croissants and all things like that as well.
And outside, they have the statue of Gaston over the fountain, and they're playing the tavern music from the movie.
Yes.
It's such a magical little place. I love it so much. Awesome. Jenna.
So, this was a really hard decision, and not because I have a lot of choices. I don't eat in the parks, ever. But if I had to choose one, I would probably choose Andy's Lunchbox in Toy Story Land. I will be honest, especially during the summer, it's kind of a pain. It's very crowded over there, and it's very hot in Toy Story Land. So once you get your food, there's not really a lot of places to go with it, but the food they do have is very good, and it's really cute because you're eating out of Andy's Lunchbox, like, obviously that's the name of it.
Yeah.
But if you've been to Toy Story Land, it's, you become a toy when you walk in, so then the lunchbox is very large, and it's really cool how they have it set up.
It's cute.
And it's fairly simple to decide what you want because there's not a lot on the menu, which I personally think is a great idea for any families. Awesome. Because then you don't have everyone saying, well, I want this, this, or this, or this. Actually, this, because there's like five things. Yes. And like they're sandwiches. Yes. So it's very straightforward.
Yes.
And it's very good. Not too expensive, actually. So grab it, run, find somewhere that's air conditioned or shaded. And then go back to Toy Story Land. Yes. After eating your food.
Yes. There's not a lot of shade in Toy Story Land.
No.
Mine is also in Hollywood Studios, and it is Backlot Express, which is kind of a hidden treasure, I think. Yes. I don't think a lot of people talk about it or know about it. It's nothing fancy. It's literally burgers and fries. But I think I was with you, yeah. Jenna, the first time I ate there, and I loved it. Like, wasn't too expensive. The burger was amazing.
Yes.
As were the fries. Like, I remember just being so impressed. Like, this is a really good burger and fries. And I ate there a few times after that, and it's delicious. And it's inside, so you're air-conditioned. It's in this cool, like, you know, like an old car shop type of vibe. Yeah, it's like, the theme of it is like an old car garage, and so there's cool like car parts everywhere, and it's kind of dark, air conditioned, and they have really good burgers. So it's right by Star Tours.
Yes, and it's normally not too busy because it's a hidden gem.
Yeah, it's very underrated. Okay, moving on to rides.
Ooh.
She put her hand in her face. She's like,
I will preface this by saying I don't think I can actually choose. I'm choosing for the name of the game. But there's so many good rides, and there's so many good rides in each park.
Yes.
That I think I will go with, no shocker, a Hollywood Studios attraction. I will say Slinky Dog Dash because even though it's not the highest thrill ride that you can go on, it's such a cute coaster. The theming is amazing, and the wait time's always really long, so I always appreciate when I get to ride it more so than some of the other rides that I can ride more often. So I'm saying it for that reason a lot too, but I love that ride. The first time I went on it, my mom actually was not really willing to wait in the line. It was about 2 hours. It was very hot. It was the middle of summer. It was the week before I started my program. And when we got off, she was like, okay, that was almost worth it, which is good.
Almost.
Yeah, it's very, very cute. It's great for adults and kids. Perfect middle ground.
Yeah.
And if you can deal with that heat of waiting in line, it's awesome. And you get to see, well, not now, but pre-COVID, you got to see all the characters walking out because they all meet out in Toy Story Land. So you get to see them while you were waiting in the two-hour line.
Woody and Buzz and Jessie and
Bo Peep for a little bit. Yeah, I'll go with that ride. One.
You get up there high enough on the coaster that you can see the rest of the park, and you can see down into Galaxy's Edge, which is right next door to Toy Story.
And it was really cool because the first time I went on that ride, Galaxy's Edge was not open yet. So you got a little sneak peek. It's not a sneak peek because you can just walk right in, but it was then.
Yeah. Okay, mine is going to be a shocker to everyone. It's Haunted Mansion. I love Haunted Mansion. I love everything about it. I love the story, the theming, the music, just everything. I love Halloween. I can't explain it. We were riding it on Thursday, and I was just like, I just feel safe in here, like, which is very ironic because it's a scary haunted house. You know, it's a little bit creepy, but it's, like, air-conditioned. It's a dark ride, so you just, like, chill out in your little buggy. And it's just so cute. I love it. I love the songs at the end and the hitchhiking ghosts and all of the, like, I think all the special effects inside it are so cool, down to, like, the banging doors and the mirrors that you see the ghost riding with you in the buggy. And it's just such a fun ride. I love it so much.
My favorite ride is Flight of Passage in the Pandora area of Animal Kingdom, which is not unique because that's so many people's favorite ride, but for a good reason. It is so good. The ride is amazing. I was very skeptical when I knew that it was a ride that you wear like 3D glasses for and all of that because those aren't usually my favorite, but they did such an amazing job with that entire ride, and the effects in it are amazing. Everything about it is, it's one of the very few rides that I would be willing to wait in a long line for.
Okay, I think we should go through and with rides do an honorary mention for them because there's so many amazing ones.
That's fair. Yeah.
So like maybe do your second or third one if it got taken. Okay.
Jenna just really wanted to say her second one.
I actually have two more, but I'm just going to focus on one. I'm going to say Everest from Animal Kingdom is definitely.
That would be second on my list.
But yeah, I'll let Taylor talk about that one because my actual second one is I will always love Tower of Terror.
Oh, you just took my second one.
Oh, gosh. You don't even need to keep going. You talk about Everest, rude. But I was going to say Tower. It's just I didn't know if you would say Everest. But Tower of Terror is, I love it because I love drop towers, but normally they're not. They're very quick rides, but Tower of Terror themes it so well, it's spooky, but and not too much. It's different every time. It's different every time. It's
so mad. I knew you would, but
I mean, I have to. Basically, everything I say will probably be from Hollywood Studios. I have an addiction, and I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is. It's just so good. I don't even know how to explain why I love Tower of Terror so much. And it is one of the higher thrill attractions at Disney.
And it's just iconic.
So iconic. Like,
I'm not trying to offend any Marvel fans out there, but I am still not over the fact that they changed it to stupid Guardians of the Galaxy in California. And I hope they never change it here in Florida, because I know you guys need your Marvel rides, and that's fine, and I respect that, but I took my Tower of Terror Twilight Zone, and it's not okay. But it's still here in Florida, and I hope it is here to stay. Yeah. Don't talk about Everest.
So both of mine apparently are at Animal Kingdom, ironically. But no, Everest is another one of the larger coasters that they have with Disney. It's interesting too, because a good like half of the ride is outside and you get to see these really crazy cool views. And then half the ride is in the dark mountain of Everest, and it becomes like a dark inside coaster almost. You go forwards, you go backwards. It's just, you've got all of the things.
I think it's the highest point on a Disney ride, isn't it?
It is.
Yep.
Yeah. That also has the very highest point of all the Disney.
They were about 5 feet off. They would have made it taller, but they didn't want to put the plane light, whatever they have to, on the top of it.
Towers, yeah. I think, 1 foot under the specified.
Disney coming in right there.
Coming right and pushing the buttons. My third, because Jenna took my second, is the Frozen ride at Epcot. It's so magical. I don't usually cry on rides. I don't even cry on, like, Haunted Mansion. But Frozen makes me cry. And I think it's because when I was out here, Frozen reminds me of my sister, and I would just miss her. And so I just ride that ride and would just bawl. Because it's beautiful. Like, it's a boat dark ride. So you sit in a boat through the water, and you go through the whole story of Frozen. And it's beautiful.
It's very cool.
It's visually just the queue is gorgeous. Stunning. Yeah. Queue is so fun. You're, like, standing through all of Arendelle and through the little
shop.
The shop. Oakens.
Oakens.
Shop thing.
Whatever it is.
Whatever. We don't know. But it's a lot of fun. We can go with character meet and greet.
Oh, I'm ready. Okay. Anyone who knows me knows this is not going to be any shock that I'm going to say this. But I am choosing character meet and greet. That is my home and a place that I worked at for one good half my program almost every single morning. And it is Topolino's Terrace. It's technically a restaurant, but, like, you have meet and greet in it, so I'm counting it. The characters, first of all, you have the core four. You've got Donald, Daisy, Mickey, Minnie, and they have the cutest outfits because it's the Riviera. So you've got Sculptor Donald, who is my favorite, and he's so cute. And you've got Painter Mickey, you've got Poet, Writer, Minnie Mouse, and then you've got a little ballerina Daisy, who is always the little girl's fan favorite at the restaurant. They do a full dance sing thing around the restaurant where all the kids get to dance with them, and then you get to go out on the terrace and look out at the view as well. And it's a smaller restaurant, so you get a lot more time with all of the characters. They really have a lot more freedom to genuinely interact with you, and it's truly a magical experience.
Yay. Do you want me to go? I think we have the same one.
You can go. I have a backup.
I do too, but mine is Chewbacca at Hollywood Studios. He's the best. He gives the best hugs. He's my favorite. I miss him so much. Even my mom was texting me this week, like, do you get to see Chewbacca? And I was like, no, because of COVID. And she's like, I'm sure he misses you. And I was like, I do too. Like, I just, those hugs will heal your soul.
It's so true.
Yeah. And he is just like, he's so just friendly and happy. And he'll sit and talk to you in his Chewbacca voice. And every time I went to Hollywood, which was many times,
on my program, I had to stop and get a chewy hug. Which was good because I dragged her into launch bay every time she hung out with me anyways.
And I was not mad because I got to see Chewbacca. So
I will add on to that and then say my backup.
Okay.
I mean, I loved all of launch bay. That was my home during my program. It holds an even more special place now because I spent New Year's Eve there, which was my first time going through the New Year without my family. And I closed that night, so I got to indirectly be with all of the Star Wars characters that evening. And also the day that was my official last day in the program, they let all of the college program participants have access to studios. And so especially anybody that worked at Launch Bay, they allowed us to go in and meet all the characters in our costumes so we could see them, get the photos with us in our costumes and everything. I will never forget going into Chewbacca and Darth Vader. Darth Vader didn't care. He just stood there. But Chewbacca hugged all me and my other two friends that were leaving the program as we're bawling. I'm sure we were not the only CPs that walked in there that day to get hugs from him. And he took it like a champ, you know. He growled at us. I still don't speak Chewbacca. It's fine. So that was a special experience. I will say my favorite character experience besides my home. I went to the Christmas party last year 3 times. I had a problem. And
you still have a problem.
I still have a problem.
Jenna loves Christmas so much. So much.
I can't even express how much I love Christmas. And so, yes, I went to the parties 3 times. And they have specialty characters out. And they have all the princes out with the princesses. And they have Nick Wilde and Judy Hopps.
She's cuddling a Nick Wilde right now as we speak. A little.
I saw Ariel and Prince Eric all 3 times I went to the party. They were amazing. I fangirled so hard. And I wasn't sure who I was happier to see, Ariel or Prince Eric. But I hugged both of them every time. And I'm sure they were kind of tired of me.
They loved it.
I enjoyed it. And then I hopped on over to see Nick Wilde. I saw him both 2 of the 3 times for the party. Aww. And I loved seeing him as well. So Christmas party in general, I would say, has been some of my best character meet and greet experiences.
Yeah.
So I would definitely recommend when things get back to normal, they're able to do the character meet and greets again, especially during the parties.
Yes, do them.
It's a must do. Like ride Space Mountain because they change it up for the holidays and then just do characters for the rest of the time.
It's so fun. I have to say my bonus is Gaston because he... I know he's a toxic person, but I love him. I don't know what it is.
Taylee and I never got to meet him or he would have been on my list.
I'm obsessed with Gaston. I think I met him twice on my program and he is just, he's a delight. We are the silly girls.
Yes. My honorable mention is Edna Mode.
Yes.
Yes.
My queen. She's yes, the there's best. A little area, it's kind of another hidden gem that a lot of people don't know about. In Hollywood Studios, there's a little area before you get into Toy Story that is an Incredibles area. And there is an indoor meet and greet. So yes, air conditioned meet and greet with Edna Mode. She has her whole...
Shameless plug.
She has a whole meet and greet area in there with all of her fancy trophies and such. And the line is never long because a lot of people don't know it's there.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
I think Jenna was with me when we...
Yeah.
And you were hanging out with Edna.
I was hanging out with Edna.
Yep. It was so fun. All right. Wonderful. Okay. Now we're down to our shows. This includes parades, does not include fireworks, because we decided that needs to be its own little bonus thing that we'll do at the end, because we had to get specific. So shows are the live shows, the parades, whatever.
You can go first.
I'll go first. I think it was okay. Mine's probably lame, because I know there's a lot that I could have picked, but I love the Boo to You parade. Oh, really? Was that yours?
Of course it was mine.
I thought you guys would be like, that's lame.
What?
No. I'm sure it would be mine, too, if I'd actually gotten to see it.
The Boo to You. I'm sorry, Taylor. Oh, no. I feel so bad. I was like, for sure they won't ever pick this.
Why would I never pick that? That is the best thing ever at Disney, period.
It's the best parade. It's so cute. I went to the Halloween parade last year with my best friends who came out to visit me, and we sat on Main Street. I'm sorry.
I am traumatized.
I genuinely didn't expect that reaction. But it's so cute. They had a float for Pirates and for Haunted Mansion and for Yeah, everything. And all the characters are in costume. Like, I have a video of Tigger coming up with his little mask on and, like, saying hi to us. And it is just delightful. And the soundtrack is so fun, and it gets stuck in your head.
So much.
For days.
Or years.
Or years. It's been stuck in my head since last year, honestly. It's so fun and just cute. Oh, and it starts with the Headless Horseman coming down Main Street with his pumpkin head. And it's so cool. And, oh, my gosh. I love it, and I'm so sorry, Daily.
Okay, I will learn to recover. Oh, crap, I just thought of another one I love. Oh, no.
Wait, isn't that a good thing?
Jenna, do you want to go next?
Sure.
Okay.
She's so stressed.
I'm so stressed.
I am between two, but right. I'll go with hopefully not Taylee's second choice. I'm going to have to go with the Frozen sing-along in Hollywood Studios. Yes. Shocking. Basically Hollywood Studios, period. You're staying on brand. Yeah. It is one of the absolute best shows, in my opinion. I saw all of them while I was in my program as pre-COVID, before everything had to shut down. And that one is just so fun, especially if you go with friends that like to sing out loud. If guests are mad around you that are angry you're singing, it's literally called Frozen Sing-Along. So you just sing your heart out like I do every time. Plus, I love Frozen. Laurelyn and I went many a time and sang Love is an Open Door together because we love each other.
And the narrators are so funny. Like, there's always, like, a male and female narrator that, like, stand on the stage and they'll dance and, like, make jokes at the audience members.
So good.
It's really cute.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it's a really nice time to just kind of sit down. It's a good chance to get out of the sun, out of the heat in the middle of summer. I believe they did just open it, or they're about to open it back up since reopening the parks from COVID. So I am very, 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 very excited for when I get to go back to Hollywood Studios and see it again.
It's a good, like, 20-minute
show. It's about a 20-minute show.
It's so cute.
They have it really organized, so it's easy to get into. It's not that big a deal to get in and out, even though it's a larger theater. And it's just fantastic. And there's some magical parts in it that I won't say, just in case you haven't done it before, especially at the end. And, again, this will be something that will have to happen later after COVID's kind of been taken care of. But they have a Christmas version of the show as well.
Are you serious?
Where Olaf will come out during the show. So hopefully we get back to that so that magical time can happen as well.
You're just giving me more reasons to come back for Christmas.
We're trying really hard.
They're really working on me. Okay, Taylor.
Okay, so this is so pathetic. I'm torn between three.
I feel that.
Okay.
Okay, no, I'm really torn between two.
You know what? You can do two because I took yours
and broke my heart. Shattered my heart. No, so the two I'm torn between are Festival of Fantasy and Fantasmic. Yes. And the reason why is because I've actually seen Festival of Fantasy 1,000 times more, purely because it usually happened during my lunch break in Magic Kingdom. And so I have really fond memories of, like, walking out from backstage during my lunch break and just sitting on Main Street, watching the parade go by, and then grabbing a quick snack and going back to work. And so it just, like, holds a really special place in my heart because of that. That being said, I have not seen Fantasmic that many times. As an adult, I watched it a million times as a kid. But, like, Fantasmic is something that even just thinking about Fantasmic makes me want to cry. My biggest dream in the world is to be able to be a part of the Fantasmic show. And it has been since I was, like, since the first time I ever saw Fantasmic, I turned to my mom as, like, a little infant. And I... a little infant.
Her first words were...
My first words were Fantasmic. No, I turned to my mom as a very young kid and I said, Mom, I gotta be in this. And she was like, okay, little kid.
Not even my child.
And I was like, no, Mom, you don't understand. Like, I am going to be a part of this show one day. And so it's still a dream of mine. I'm waiting very patiently for it to open back up again. So Fantasmic is my heart and soul.
I have a friend back home, Kenzie, if you're listening, hey. She has the entire Fantasmic show memorized.
Absolutely.
And so her mom tells a story. There was one night where there was this big, like, lightning thunderstorm in Utah. And their whole family, like, they opened the windows and they sat on the living room floor and, like, watched lightning. And Kenzie stood in front of everyone and did the entire Fantasmic show from memory. Like, for everyone. She's a theater kid like us, so you can imagine the spectacle. But she'll do all the instrumentals and all the singing. And, like, she's insane.
That's a good one.
Yay. Okay, last one is resorts that we want to stay in because we're poor. So we're classifying this as resorts that we love exploring or resorts that we want to stay in the most. That's where we're at. And Jenna's going to start.
So, I have yet to be able to go to some of them to even look at the resorts. So I'm doing it based on the ones that I have walked through and seen.
Deal.
So I will be going with the Polynesian.
That rolls my phone away.
She took both of ours.
How dare she dang it to me?
I've honestly only explored it barely at all, actually. Taylee and I went on a little resort hopping day after we ate at the Grand Floridian Cafe. And all of the Magic Kingdom resorts are just beautiful. But I love the Islander vibe of the Polynesian. And we went and sat out on the beach area where the hammocks are and just laid out there. And I didn't get to see a lot of the actual resort, but it's just absolutely stunning. And it just has such a laid back vibe, even when we were looking through the stores and stuff. So yeah, I would 1000% want to stay there, specifically in the bungalow. I can't ever afford it. But I think it'd be a perfect midway where I still get my Disney, but still having that, like, beach vibe.
Yeah.
Because I can't afford to do both, so you gotta find somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. One of our first nights here on our program, me and Taylee went to the Polynesian because we hadn't gotten our passes yet as cast members. So we couldn't go in the parks yet, but we could go to the resorts. And so one of our, like, it had to be the first or second night that we were here. We went to the Polynesian, we took the monorail, and we got Dole Whips, and we went and sat on the beach that they have that's right up against the lake. And right across the lake directly is Magic Kingdom, and we could see the fireworks show across the lake, and we sat and ate our Dole Whips, and it was lovely. And it's such a cool resort. It's so laid back, and my favorite vacation I've ever been on was to Hawaii, and it took me right back to Hawaii, and I was like, okay, I could live here. This is so great. So,
you're welcome.
Taylee, you want to go next?
Rock.
They're such hard choices for me, because I'm like, wait, do I do my now or my childhood?
Yeah,
I'm going childhood on this one. The Beach Club Resort is a place I stayed every trip when I came with my family as a kid. I came to Disney World quite a lot as a child, and as much as we could at least, and we always stayed in Disney resorts. And one of our trips, we got to do something where, like, every 2 days we switched resorts to try out, like, several different ones. So we stayed in, like, 3 or 4 different resorts. And we did the Beach Club one night, and I fell in love with that resort as a kid. And my mom ironically kept pushing for us to, like, stay in the Polynesian or stay somewhere different. And I was a very stubborn child, and I was like, no, Mom. The Beach Club is our home. We cannot change our plan now. And we stayed a good at least 4 more trips in that hotel, and we'd stay every night in that hotel because I loved it so much, mostly because their pool, they have a slide that goes from a pirate ship over by the lake, crosses over the walkway and into the pool. The pool connects to a separate hotel's pool and, like, stretches along 2 hotels worth, and it has sinking sand inside of one part. So wow. You actually step into the pool. It doesn't sink you too far down, I promise.
It has sinking sand in the water.
No, there's a certain part of the pool where they have a big old stick, and it says sinking sand.
And all your kids
and you, like, you wait in it, and your feet will start to sink like it's sinking sand.
Then you go over to Epcot.
Yeah, yep.
Basically, takes you underground through a portal up to Epcot.
Like a lazy river. It's a huge pool, and it is phenomenal. And they would always do kids activities and movies on the beach. And that was my, like, I watched Parent Trap out on the beach and everything. So that hotel is everything to me.
That's a good one. I stayed in Pop Century.
Yeah.
Mine and Taylee's first night here when our program started. That was our one night that we stayed here when we got here. And it was really cute. However, the one I want to stay in the most, I'm going to be basic and say Grand Floridian, because it's stunning. And we were there today, and Jenna was like, I feel so out of place here, like, because it's just so fancy. Like, it's the most expensive one, and you can tell. And, like, anyone who stays there is just, like, the richest person in the world. And I just love just walking around the lobby and area, because they have the cafe inside where you can get food, and they have little shops inside and the Bibbidi Bobbidi boutique that is currently closed. But it is just elegant and beautiful, and I would give all of my life to stay there for a night, besides the Polynesian. But
yeah,
anyway,
took that one. And I was going to say Art of Animation.
Okay, our bonus one is our favorite fireworks show.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to close this sucker out.
We all know the answer to this.
Are we saying favorite show that wasn't Happily Ever After? Because
it could be anyone.
It's a bonus round.
Oh, wait, I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Jenna and I are a joint round on this.
I have a second that's very close. Okay. Kind of.
So I'm going to go.
Yeah, Taylor should go.
Happily Ever After. The best fireworks show in the history of fireworks.
I'm sorry. Can you please settle that it's better than Wishes?
It is better than everything.
It is better than Wishes.
It is better anyone than says that, I'm like, anything that is
Wishes is only your favorite over Happily Ever After for nostalgia. Yes. I watched it and the show is cool, but the projections that Happily Ever After has just outweighs Wishes a million times.
My future child is listening to this podcast. My future child, you are not as good as this fireworks show. That is how good this fireworks show is.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
Sorry, future Taylee's kid.
Future Taylee's child. You do not understand, nor will you ever comprehend.
No, you'll watch it and then you'll be like, okay, Mom, I get it.
Amount of times that I was backstage putting my costumes away, listening to the sound, the booms of the fireworks happening, and I was like, I want to be there, but I can't because I'm, you know, working and such.
It's so good.
Of times that I sat backstage on my break and, like, wandered up onto this little hill we have that back there and just sat next to all the critters and frogs and watched the fireworks show and then saw Tinkerbell fly down the castle and give herself a little cheer was just, it's everything that I ever needed in my life. Not once have I ever watched that show and not bawled.
Same.
True.
It is a very, very close second for me. Extremely.
She is wrong.
But mine.
She's incorrect.
Well, and okay, it's like Jenna was just saying, my favorite is only favorite for nostalgia. Not only.
Yeah, that's very much because of nostalgia.
And that is Illuminations at Epcot, which is now retired and gone.
Rip.
And I'm so heartbroken. I got to work at Epcot the last, 2 months that Illuminations was running, and it was magical. And every time I had a closing shift, it was outside because I was in the Food and Wine Festival, usually right on the lake. And so I would be closing up and cleaning or whatever as the fireworks show was going. And all of World Showcase lights up, with all of their little fairy lights and everything. And the fireworks would go off, and they'd bring out the big globe that would come out into the center of the lake. And it was just so beautiful. And the sound, the song We Go On, they played bawling every time. It's so beautiful. And I got to work. I was working closing shift the night that it was the last night of Illuminations, which was really bittersweet and lovely. And I will always miss it. And Epcot Forever is the new show, and it's fine.
It's something.
It is not Illuminations. Close. But yes, Happily Ever After is a very close second.
Same thing because, my home park studios.
Shocker.
I love their fireworks show being in my home park and the ones that I knew the best because I saw them every night or heard them every night or decided to go back and park after I got off to watch them because I had a problem. And I still do.
Don't we all?
And we all do.
You have to have a problem to come here and work here, honestly.
Yep.
Okay, I want to close this out with you guys sharing your favorite Disney quote from any movie. It can be from Walt Disney himself. One that comes to mind. Just as a little goodbye to all of our listeners.
I mean, obviously there's a lot. Mine is going to be the cliche Walt Disney's It's Kind of Fun to Do the Impossible. Mm-hmm. I have had it on my Instagram page forever. I had it on my college dorm room wall. I got a wall sticker and put it up. It's on half of my quote books that I write out. I just love it because he always talked about in a lot of different ways, but he had a lot of hardship throughout his life, if you know anything about his background and what he went through to get to where he got, and he did something spectacular, and he pushed through everything, and that just, I love that quote, because honestly, cliche as it is, it really is fun to do the impossible. Do what people say you can't do, and prove them wrong.
Yes.
Because that's why we're here.
I love it.
I'm gonna do another cliche one. This is something that every time I came into a shift to hang out with Mr. Mickey Mouse in Town Square Theater, it was always on the board and it was always something we were supposed to look at right before we went out to do our shift every time that we walked out of the doors. And it was his classic, never forget, it was all started by a mouse. So.
Cry. Same. Mine is one I just rediscovered today. I was on Pinterest. And the one that I found that I always, I read it or hear it and it just, my heart stops because I'm like, that's so good. It's from Tangled. When Flynn and Rapunzel are sitting in the boat on the lake and they're waiting for the lanterns to come up, and she's so nervous and she's like, what if it's not everything I want it to be? And he's like, well, it will be. And she says, okay, so what if it is? What do I do then? And Flynn says, well, that's the good thing, I guess. You get to go find a new dream.
Oh, see, I just got chills saying it. I'm gonna cry. I love that so much because I remember coming back from my program, which it was so hard to come home early and leave these girls I love so much. But I remember coming back and just being like, hey, well, I did it. Like, I wanted to work for Disney and I did it. And now what? And I remember watching Tangled shortly after coming home and hearing that quote pretty much for the first time, it felt like. And just being like, yeah, there's always something new on the horizon, even in pandemics and stupid, crazy world things that go on. There's always something to look forward to and something to push yourself towards and new goals and new dreams. And it is all right there. Any parting words, ladies?
Come to Walt Disney World, please.
Please.
Yes. We need you here so bad.
Please reach out to me if you know me personally or to the Stagehaven Instagram if you have questions about anything.
We might Disney do a second World. Episode if you really
we
want us
might.
To. It's back okay if you don't.
By popular demand, I'll fly all the way out here just for you guys.
In December.
Yeah, we're going to make
we'll
it happen.
See. We will see. But anyway, thanks guys for tuning in, and we will see you next time. Still don't have an outro.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stagehaven. Subscribe to this podcast and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Stagehaven. We are always taking suggestions and requests for what to discuss here, so feel free to reach out with any thoughts you may have, or if you would like to be our next Stagehaven guest. Email us at stagehaventheater@gmail.com. That's theater spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E. Thanks again for tuning in. Here's to the safe and inspiring spaces that we all deserve.